Welcome to Inside the Program, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Joe Cook, got Eric Narlene. Our weekly look at the latest details going on with the Texas football program. Still kind of in that month of May period where players are working out, but we can get some insight on what to expect from the 2025 season and specifically along the offensive line. So make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Of course, head to InsideTexas.com. Got a link in our description. That's where you can get all the latest and greatest insight. But Eric, the big topic that we're talking about today is the offensive line. They are replacing four starters. Three went off to the NFL draft, one undrafted free agent. And even despite losing those guys, guys like Kelvin Banks, Cam Williams, Hayden Connor, Jake Majors, there's still some optimism in the Texas program about what the 2025 offensive line could be.
Yeah, they lost a ton of starters, but there's still a good amount of continuity coming back just because, you know, DJ Campbell, who's taking the next step, taking on a leadership role, you know, just really continued his maturation, is back. Cole Hudson has been there every step of the way with DJ Campbell, even started ahead of DJ Campbell as a true freshman, has played a lot interchangeably with Campbell. Now he moves over to center. Guard to center can be a pretty easy transition if you're wired to play center. A lot of guys in the NFL, that's exactly what they do. They played guard in college and they go to the NFL and play center. Cole Hudson has done a good job making that transition. He's reading defenses, making the right calls, snapping the ball under control. And he's done a good job. And then, you know, really, I feel like there's a ton of confidence in Trevor Goosby. He showed a lot last year, and they're treating him, and their belief in him is that similar of a future first-round draft pick and probably after this season. So, you know, they feel good for those reasons. Neto Umeozulu has been in the program for what, he's going into his fourth year. He was a member of the same class with DJ Campbell and Hudson and Kelvin Banks and Cam Williams and Connor Robertson. So he's been around a long time. And then, you know, Brandon Baker, talented guy. We'll get to some of his strengths and weaknesses at this point. But, you know, he's entering his second year. Luckily, he's not a first-year player.
Some of the other reasons for optimism outside the pieces on the offensive line, some of it involves looking back at last year's line and it's, you know, what it was strong at. Some of it involves who's under center, and some of it involves maybe some changes in how they're going to approach the run game this year too.
Yeah, it seems like they're shooting for an identity shift. They want to get more physical. Obviously, that was a bit of an issue last year. They couldn't win at the point of attack, especially against the better competition. You know, when they needed it the most, Ohio State, Georgia, two times, even against Arizona State, they struggled to assert the line of scrimmage. So they want to get stronger at the point of attack, and they feel like they've got a better chance at that. You know, Jake Majors, extremely experienced and a good player, but Cole Hudson probably provides a little bit more punch. DJ Campbell, playing his best ever, is in the best shape of his life. And then Neto is known as his run blocking, whereas Hayden Connor, the exact opposite of Connor, where Connor was much better in pass pro. So there's a bit of a switch there. And I think that blends seamlessly with what they're trying to do schematically with more gap schemes. More gap schemes takes thinking out of it. It doesn't require quite as much cohesion. The offensive line pretty much know what they're going to do before the snap. And because of that, you can play more aggressively. So it's going to bring that power that Neto plays with to bear, that athleticism on the move and the power that DJ Campbell possesses. I think we're going to see a lot more offensive linemen making blocks downfield than we saw this past year.
And then the other part, Arch Manning, you know, we saw Quinn Ewers kind of step into some sacks every now and then, more often than fans would like. And there's a perception that even with, you know, new guys up there, the offensive line is going to be helped by some new traits under center.
Yeah, I mean, the whole offense is going to be aided by Arch Manning's playmaking. He's going to make Steve Sarkisian look smart a bunch, but he's going to make the offensive line look right, and he's going to make their job easier as far as run blockers. He's going to hold that backside edge that we've talked about so much this offseason. He's going to make the defenses think and have to account for him as a runner at times. He's going to make things a lot easier for the offensive line, not only in the run blocking, but also in pass pro, where he's going to he'll get out of the pocket, make a play with his arm or his legs. He'll step into the pocket. You know, he's just got better internal clock than Quinn, and he's more likely to make a playoff schedule. So, yeah, a lot of plays came, you know, the whistle blew a little too early on some plays last year where I think there was still some meat left on the bone. Arch is going to use the whole bison on every play. He's going to make the offensive line right. He's going to make his coaches right more often than not.
So we talked about where some of the guys fit in as far as positions, but let's look at that whole offensive line. We'll get into individual traits a little bit deeper in a second, but when we're looking left to right, first five, how does it go?
Well, unless somebody else comes in and it would only be a grad transfer, this is almost a lock to start the season, and that would be Trevor Goosby at left tackle, Neto Umezulu at left guard, Cole Hudson at center, of course, DJ Campbell at right guard, where he's played a ton, and then Brandon Baker getting his first career start. That's, I mean, I don't see how that would be upset at this point. Normally there's a little bit of flux here and there, this far out from the season, but this looks pretty set in stone at this point.
We'll keep going with some individual strengths and weaknesses in just a second. But first, a word from Academy, and specifically Jordan. Academy Sports and Outdoors is your new home for Jordan. Gear up today and take flight on the court, off the court, and above the court. Unleash your greatness with head-to-toe Jordan gear for the entire family, available in-store and at academy.com. Elevated styles and shoes for everyone, plus unstoppable value every day. And Academy offers easy ways to shop and save time, like free one-hour in-store or curbside pickup on academy.com orders. Or you could choose same-day delivery powered by DoorDash, where if you order by 4 p.m., you get it by 8 p.m. Check out Academy's full Jordan selection at Academy Sports and Outdoors or at academy.com. As you can see on the screen, greatness is here. Also, I think Academy is going to be the place where if you're looking for some SEC championship t-shirts for the baseball program, you'll be able to pick that up. Pretty cool to watch that. Max Ballou, three-run shot. First time in a month and a half seeing live action and home run hitter's dream. You go 0-for-4 and then you're 1-for-5 with three RBIs with one swing of the bat. So pretty awesome to see there. What are some of the individual strengths and weaknesses? I feel like with the guys that you talk about that we've seen play in action, Trevor Goosby, Cole Hudson, DJ Campbell, we got a pretty good understanding of what they had to work on, what they're good at. But Neto Umezulu and Brandon Baker are a little bit more of the unknowns in this respect and what they're really good at, what they lack in. Aside from those first three guys, if there's anything you want to touch on there, go ahead. But with the unknown guys at left guard and right tackle, what are some of the things fans maybe should expect to hear about them?
Well, I mean, Goosby's considered a complete offensive tackle. Obviously, there's some things to clean up, but he fared extremely well, especially he wasn't, you know, Arch looked good, but Arch was playing patsies more often than not, unless he was coming in for a play or two here or there. Goosby was thrown to the wolves, you know, down in the SEC championship, A&M and their defensive line, playoffs. So, I mean, they feel he's battle tested and he's had the traits. And, you know, he's going to make we're going to write up the hardest workers on the team here either today or tomorrow morning. And he's going to be on that list. It's no surprise. He loves the weight room. So I think we're going to see even more power in the run game for him. So I'm really excited about Trevor Goosby. He's going to have a really good year. Our list came in, our source had him as the sixth best player on the team. The fifth best player on the team was a bit of a surprise with DJ Campbell. We covered this in a video a couple weeks ago, if you want to go back and find it. You know, I think he's got it all. He was a five-star for a reason. Guards rarely are anointed five-stars. So there's some traits there that have, you know, have been present at times, but maybe we haven't seen nearly enough of. I think we're going to see a lot of that. He's got all the traits to be athletic and pass pro. And, you know, just a difference maker in the run game. A lot of that just has to come with consistency. I think he's more consistent. The biggest question marks, as you said, Neto and Baker, and they have disparate strengths, but I think it works out for what they're trying to do. Baker's not great as a run blocker yet. I think he'll have help at times with a tight end, but he's really good in his pass sets. And that's exactly what you want in an offense where sometimes the play takes a while to develop off of play action. That's going to, you know, he's going to help create a deep pocket for Arch to step up and make those deep shots. So we feel good about that one. And Neto, again, you know, he's trading pass pro for run blocking with Hayden Connor, where exactly they need to run inside. They need to be able to run the ball inside to set up that pass pro. Now his problem is he's not nearly as consistent in pass protection as he needs to be. So that running back is probably going to be on high alert quite a bit, especially when the other teams run blitzes. But there's ways to make up for it. You can use a tight end to help Baker. You can use a running back to help Neto. But those are the concerns. Baker, I think there's, you know, a fair amount of confidence in him. Neto just needs to have another big August for sure.
When when teams go into camp, they're not only trying to make a first five, they're trying to make a first six, seven, eight. You know, they're not just trying to create a depth chart. They're trying to have a group of offensive linemen that they know can come in and be ready to play and maybe shift those first five around as a result. So when you're thinking about who those first guys off the bench are, you still got guys in the 2022 class and some guys in the 2023 class who are vying for number six, number seven, and maybe even number eight as well.
Yeah, you know, we get asked a lot, like who would be the first guard off the bench. And the first guard might not be coming off the bench. He might slide over from center. You can always put Cole Hudson there because they feel there's a good amount of confidence in Connor Robertson. I know fans are all terrified of that because, you know, last time we saw him play a lot of meaningful snaps, it was in 2023. And he's a different player from them. That's a long time ago. You know, almost 2 years. That's a lifetime of development for Connor. So they feel good about Connor. They feel he's capable. And that actually tracks with what we've been saying going back to probably December, where, you know, he's been competing his tail off. He wants to play. So he could be the center, and Cole could play either right or left guard, depending on need. But Jaden Chapman would probably be the number one tackle off the bench, and he could be the number one guard if it's not Cole Hudson moving over to guard. So depth is a concern. There's not nearly as many bodies as I would have liked to hear about. Kojo could play in a pinch, I feel like, at right tackle if need be. Nate Kibble could probably play, but both those guys sound like they're more of a year away.
Nick Brooks, also a year away. I know we heard a lot about him in the spring, but is he kind of in that Kibble category where we'll see you next year?
Yeah, I mean, if it comes to that, sure. But I mean, he could play. I think he's going to play this year, probably in the four games to keep his red shirt. Probably we'll see a lot of him in September. I think he is the future left tackle behind Goosby. And I do think Goosby's gone after this season. Chapman, I think long term, might be a guard next year in 2026. There's still a lot to shake out. The future at the left tackle appears to be Nick Brooks, but I think it's probably not going to be this year.
Lots to unpack with the offensive line. So make sure you head to InsideTexas.com. Again, a lot more in-depth details over on this story from Eric and Justin. Of course, make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel. We're going to have a recruiting scoop today. We'll have some more, I believe, from Ian and LC throughout the weekend. And we'll be back on Monday to bring it all around again for IT Live. So
I got hardest workers are coming up too. And the good thing about the hardest workers, and we track, you know, what makes them a hard worker, because some guys are hard workers in a different way. It could be film study, could be working on technique and skill. It could be in the weight room. We're going to break down the guys. And the good thing about that piece is it's a lot of the star power gets mentioned as being the hardest workers.
Always want your leaders to be up there working pretty hard. So, Eric, thank you so much. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Inside the Program, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.